Good morning. We're so glad you could join us again this morning. This is Missions Month on Word for Life, and it was a privilege to have numbers of individuals and families with us for a missions conference this last October. But as we set aside January every month just to focus our attention on missions, it's a privilege to have recordings from some of our missionary families. Today we have Dan and Lynn Sehested, missionaries to Romania. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you so much. They have been in Romania. How long has it been?
22 years.
22 years. Okay. And you knew Pastor Ken back in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
Now, give me what years that would have been.
That would have been in the early 80s. As I went to Bible school at 87, so I've got to back up a little bit there. 85, basically, through 87.
Okay.
He came in as the youth pastor.
Uh-huh.
We had joined the church there. I worked in the oil field, so we had got transferred back to my hometown. Really about the same time, or just a couple months before, they brought him on as youth pastor.
Okay. Were you already working with the young people?
No, we had just had barely moved there.
Okay.
All right. Had just begun to attend. They'd also had a pastoral change. The former pastor had retired to go into missions conference speakers.
Sure.
And then Pastor John Dodd came in as the pastor, and he was a Bob Jones graduate, and he brought in Ken Keltner.
Okay. And you looked at him and said, boy, does he need help? And so you joined the staff. Huh?
Well, there's more of him picking us out.
Oh, okay, okay. Now, Lynn, did you serve as his secretary or anything along that line?
I did. I was already working at the church as a bookkeeper.
Okay.
And when he came on, they realized he needed a lot of help. So I became his secretary.
All right. Well, I know there have been numbers of ladies down through my 49 years of pastoral ministry that have been a tremendous, tremendous help to me.
Yes.
And so I know you were to him. So you work in the oil industry, just planning on doing that the rest of your life?
No specific goals as such.
Okay.
I went to Oklahoma State out of high school.
Yeah.
And the degree I got in mechanical power technology got me a number of interviews and about 4 job offers.
Okay.
And I just took one that looked the most promising.
Right.
In an oil field service company.
Uh-huh.
And in doing well, enjoying life.
It's right.
Like making good money.
Okay.
Especially when they got transferred back to Tulsa, which is where all their family was.
Gotcha. All right. And you folks have been married how long when you moved back there?
We got married in 79.
Okay.
6 years.
About 6 years. Any children in the family at that point when you moved?
No, there were no children. We didn't have any children until we got to Romania.
Okay, all right. So tell me then how the idea of missions even entered this family conversation.
Well, before it's missions, you have to come into the call.
Uh-huh.
Call to preach, call to full-time service.
Okay.
And then Lord directs you where.
To where, yes.
Yeah. I was saved as a teenager, raised in Southern Baptist churches, and it was fine, it was good, but never really grew in the Lord until after we were married in these independent Baptist churches.
Right.
And the Lord was working in my heart really for a number of years, but in 1986, we had a missionary stay in our home in a missions conference.
Okay.
And he had also worked in the oil field.
Oh.
So we had a common background a little bit.
Sure.
And he stayed with us for that week. And at the end of the week, we took them out to dinner before they get ready to leave to wherever they're going next. And across the dinner table in that little restaurant, he looked at me and said, Dan, you're not happy, are you? And I just looked back and said, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And we had good money. We had a good church and all this stuff. But I knew that the Lord was working.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Over the course of the next year, that just worked on us. And it was the missions conference in 1987.
So before you go there, did he just drop it when you said, no, I'm not really happy?
No, he didn't just drop it. He just said, you need to do something about it. I don't remember exactly after the conversation.
All right.
I don't remember because I was kind of furious at the time.
Yeah, she didn't expect my answer when I said, no, I'm not. Because we had a good home. We had a good income. We were serving in the church.
Right,
very active.
Right.
And all our family was there. What else could you want?
Yeah. You were, as they say, living the life.
I was satisfied and fulfilled, and I thought I was doing what we needed to be doing.
Right.
I thought we were happy.
And then he comes out with this answer.
And I was shocked.
And the dinner got really long, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it brought to the forefront something that was in my heart. But it took a little while to adjust to the idea. And in 87, following missions conference, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but you feel like if I don't go yield, my heart's going to bust. And I think it's the first or second night of the missions conference. I turned and looked at Lynn, my wife, and said, "Are you ready?" And she was more than ready. By that time, her whole mentality had changed.
Okay.
And she was more than ready.
Okay.
Actually, she was ready before I was
all
in
right.
the process of that year. And we went forward and surrendered our life to full-time service.
Yeah, yeah.
In the context of missions conference, but beyond that, I never considered staying here in the States. It just didn't seem to me to be reasonable.
Right.
We had heard so much over the previous probably 5 years in the church out in New Mexico and then in Oklahoma, where we really began to grow in those two churches. So much about, you know, America. We got 10% of the world population or something like that, and 90% of the world's pastors.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need any more. You know, and how am I going to compete, you know, on the radio if folks are listening to the radio rather than going to church? There's some really good preachers out there. There's good pastors around there. That's not me. You know, I was just very simple, quiet, introverted kid from working in the oil field, and I didn't see my place here. But overseas, I thought, you know, the Lord might be able to use me somewhere.
Now, Lynn, did you kind of agree with that assessment that he had?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That was
all
very
right.
accurate.
All right.
Yes.
That was evident. Okay.
So in 87, we surrendered to the Lord in that call at that time. Let's see, that would have been February of 87. In May, I gave basically a two-month notice to my company because I was teaching in a training school, which ran 2 months.
Yeah.
And I figured that they might need more time to find somebody else to bring him in like they did me from somewhere else in the U.S.
Right.
To fulfill that role.
And it was a good time to do it. May, you have the college graduations.
Yeah.
So,
and all
yeah.
that. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd been making good money, so we had money in the bank. I had pretty much all the summer off. I think that's when we went on the missions trip to Hawaii, which tough place, actually a very tough place to minister.
Are you serious?
Yes, sir.
You went to Hawaii.
Went to Hawaii on a missions trip.
And you called it a missions trip.
It was a mission trip. It's a tough place.
Now, why is that hard for me to believe?
Well, because you think like everybody else thinks. It's beautiful. But you try to work among the natives,
yes.
the native Hawaiians,
uh-huh.
where they're back on reservations in the back part of the islands
right.
and stuff. And, you know, the immorality, the drug use, you know, they're in paradise. They don't need anything.
Sure.
And the government's giving them plenty of money to live on, stuff like that. They're tough to reach.
See, we have a pastor who believes that it's never wise for him to say, "Lord, I don't want to go to Africa," because the Lord will send him to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So he keeps going around saying, "Lord, please don't send me to Hawaii. Please don't send me to Hawaii. I need to have you talk to him."
Well, the Lord knows how to. He understands what's going on there. He's not fooling anybody.
Right.
So, you know, we went there, and that was really my first trip out of the continental U.S.
Right.
And in many ways, because, you know, there's some differences between those of us who live on the mainland and the Hawaiians, especially the natives down there,
mm-hmm.
they look
mm-hmm.
at us kind of like foreigners almost.
Mm-hmm.
It was an eye-opener. It
right.
was a good trip.
Okay, okay. That was a week.
That was just 1 week.
Just 1 week, okay. And then you planned on doing what in the fall? Start Bible college?
We went to Bible college. We moved in, I guess, August. Went out to find a place to,
okay.
to live and rent a house and
okay.
all that. Find some work.
All right.
And started classes.
What degree did you start working on it?
Because I'd already had an undergrad work,
mm-hmm.
and because that missionary that I mentioned before that had challenged me
right.
was going to Austria,
okay.
I really didn't want another undergrad degree.
Sure.
I was 31 years old.
Right.
I didn't really feel like I would do very well sitting in a classroom with a bunch of 18-year-olds.
Yeah, for 4 more years.
Yeah, with all your English and all that other stuff. So I was able to get into the Master of Divinity program, basically seminary, 3-year program.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to pack that 3 years into just 4.5. When I finished, but it took me 4.5 years to finish.
Working that. Another job.
We both had part-time jobs.
Yeah.
There for a while. Lynn also got her master's in personal services, which was at that time basically biblical counseling.
Oh, okay.
And she
okay.
worked 2 part-time jobs sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for a trucking company loading freight.
I did that.
Yeah. That was fun work.
Oh, yeah. Come
hard.
Home every night just dragging.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very, very hot down there in South Carolina.
Right.
It was hot work.
Did mine in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there for a while, in the church that we're going to, which was a large church, they had an intern program
mm-hmm.
in which I was able to get on. It just ran for 2 years
okay.
of that 4.5 that we were there. But that gave me some practical ministry experience
yeah.
around the bus ministry
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So then at that point, you decided, okay, we're done, we've graduated. Now what?
Actually, just a little bit before graduation, the Lord allowed us to do some things to figure out where we were going to go.
Okay.
And I went there in 87. In 1989, the Iron Curtain began to crumble
mm-hmm.
in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that missionary that we had planned on working with was going to Austria. And we had taken German, and we're looking at the possibility of going to work with him.
Right.
In that time frame, the first couple of years, we were able to travel with the German missions team from the college.
Yeah, okay.
And travel and minister in Germany for several weeks. I can't remember. About 8 weeks.
Okay.
In different places. And in conjunction with that trip, we were able to go to Austria and visit that missionary that had stayed
right.
in our home before.
Right. Right.
And he was a good friend. But it wasn't, I don't know exactly how you would say it. It didn't feel right.
It didn't click.
It didn't click. That's
mm-hmm.
that's a good way to put it. It just
mm-hmm.
wasn't clicked. The Lord clearly wasn't leading.
Okay.
But we didn't know why.
That was frustrating.
It
because
was.
Because that seemed to be an open door.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, there was a contact. There's somebody
yeah.
that's going to help us integrate into this foreign culture.
Right, right.
And it just wasn't happening.
Mm.
And after we get back, well, then the wall come down. The revolution in Romania started in basically early December of 1989. The dictator, Nicolae Ceausescu, was
mm-hmm.
executed on Christmas Day along with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other doors were opening at that time. So we began to think about that because we'd already had, always had in the back of our mind about being in Austria. You're right next to Hungary.
Right.
Doing some things behind
right.
the Iron Curtain. We're
mm-hmm.
not really James Bond type people, but, you know, that was a possibility.
Okay.
And now all of Eastern Europe is open.
Yeah. Yeah. So, at that point, had you already picked out a mission board, mission society?
Not at that time. We had had interviews or looked around at missions conferences and stuff and missions emphasis week
mm-hmm.
at BJ. But the Lord, even through Ken Keltner earlier on, having people, speakers come in out at Tulsa, I had
right.
met a man named Ron Brooks, was just a fantastic individual, a Christian leader, and we were leading towards Baptist World Mission.
Okay.
And it was pretty well set by that time, where we'd be going with, who
gotcha.
We'd be going with.
Well, we have run out of time, so folks, be sure to join us in a couple of days, and we'll just continue the conversation. It's always exciting to me to watch God individually direct his children, and it's usually a different story, because we have a God that knows individually what we need. And the same thing is true for you, my friends. Wherever you are, whatever God is wanting to do through you, trust him. Individually, he will lead you. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.